Our scripture reading for this morning for our devotion is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the first chapter, verses 17 and 18. And John writes, "When I saw him, that is Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." The comedian Jerry Seinfeld once said, "If you've ever had to move, you realize that life is one big search for the perfect box. And then when they finally move your body for the last time, they put you in it." It's interesting the different ways that people through the centuries in different cultures and lands have dealt with the disposal of a human body once life ends. The Jews, back in Jesus' day, would take and wash and anoint the body with oil, and then they would wrap the hands and the feet with linen and place it in a tomb, often on sort of like a shelf or a bed. And then 1 year later, they would come back, and by that time, the decomposition process was fully complete. And it was usually the oldest son in the family that then was supposed to take the bones and put them into a smaller box about this big called an ossuary. And then that would be buried in the ground. And that helped to preserve the amount of land that you needed to bury so many people. The Egyptians, what they would often do, especially with the wealthier people, they believed that your soul kept living even though your body died, and it needed a place to stay, and your body was like a hotel for your soul. And so they would put a little nail between your teeth so that your soul could go in and out of your body and go out into the world during the day and then come back and live inside of your body. The early Gnostics, believed that your body was, because it was made of matter, was evil, and your soul was pure and good. And so they wanted to dispose of the body and would often use cremation. Not saying that cremation is in and of and by itself wrong. But there have been a variety of ways that people have disposed of human bodies once life comes to an end. And we typically think of it being our bodies being placed into some type of grave, into a confining box that's often actually sealed, sometimes even inside of a concrete vault, sealed inside. I remember a few years ago seeing an interview on TV, local news, of a man who claimed he had read the Minneapolis Tribune every day for 40 years and read the obituaries every day for 40 years. And during that time, he himself was of Norwegian descent. He claimed that if you looked for the names Peterson, Anderson, Johnson, and Swenson, there were only 7 days in 40 years when there wasn't one of those names in the obituaries. That's how prominent he believed death was for those of Scandinavian descent. If you look through obituaries, some people like to read them actually. If you look through obituaries, you will find children and you will find people over 100. You will find people of great wealth and great status in communities. You will find people that were street people. You'll see people in there who had doctorates. You'll see people in there that probably had no more than an eighth grade education. People who lived very unhealthy lives and people who lived extremely healthy lives. You see, when it comes to whoever gets put in this box, into this prison cell of death, death really doesn't care. It really doesn't care or respect anything about you as a person. Nothing really matters to death when it comes to you. And so when the Bible describes this horrible enemy of ours, something that is contrary to how God made us to be alive, when the Bible describes it, it usually speaks in terms of bondage or imprisonment or a place that we are taken that is unseen. In front of us, we have have the word Hades in our text. It really comes from the Hebrew word Sheol, which means the realm of the dead. Sheol is a word in the Old Testament that's used frequently to describe where the body goes after this life. And the word Hades is a word that literally means to be unseen now, that we put your body away in a place where it is no longer seen, and therefore considered this realm of the dead. So, if you will, it's kind of like a hidden imprisonment that's waiting for every one of us out there. Now, the Son of God chose to come into our world to have likewise a human body, and by his choosing, because of his love for you, chose to enter this same imprisonment, to allow himself to be incarcerated into the same confining tomb of Hades, but to go down into it, not to stay there, but rather to come out of it, to also defeat this enemy for each one of us. He requested that he himself be put into this cell along with you. We're told by the prophet Isaiah that Christ made his grave with the wicked. He made his grave with us so that he could defeat this enemy. And the comforting words that we have in front of us from Jesus are his powerful proclamation of what this means for you and for your future. Listen to what he says to John and to every one of us. Do not be afraid. That's a great opening, isn't it? Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's a great amen. We think of amen meaning the ending. Amen means this is true. He wants to underline that he's alive forevermore. Isn't that great? He says, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Think about how significant a key is in your life. Think of all the things that you wouldn't be able to do in a typical day if you lost your keys. How that tiny little possibly piece of metal or a fob or whatever gets you into places, gives you access to things. The faith that we have in Christ gives us access to the power over death itself. He alone holds the keys to our grave. And he's decided to hand those keys out to each one of us, and we grab them and possess them through this tiny little thing inside of us that we can't even see called faith. This thing that holds on to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And even a little 3-year-old kid who has that humble little faith inside of her heart has the power over death, has the power over graves, has the power to rise again back to life. Just to show how tremendous and big God's mastery is over death, he's decided to give this power to you in about the lowliest possible ways you can think of. The smallest little things. Water on your head with a little bit of words from a pastor. Words coming out of the mouth of a sinful man. Words being read out of a book. Coming to take bread and wine where Christ's body and blood are in them now for the forgiveness of our sins. These seemingly irrelevant, small, insignificant things, God has placed power in them just to show what mastery he has over death. And that's why when God talks to believers in Christ about their death, this is how he describes it. It's a sleep. It's an entrance into a mansion. It's an entrance into a banquet. It's now going through a door. It's a ride in the arms of an angel. So as St. Paul says, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen.